If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the Drop the Needle podcast, your backstage pass to the corporate jungle. I'm your host, Jim Allstott, and here, industry titans step up to the mic, sharing their epic journeys. We're hitting the high notes and the low notes of their careers, creating a symphony of success. This isn't just another interview show. It's where truth bombs are dropped and secrets are revealed. So grab your conductor's baton, because who knows, this just might help you compose the next huge hit of your career. Are you ready? Let's go. All right. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Drop the Needle podcast. I'm your host, Jim Allstott, and I'm thrilled you've decided to join us today. We have a special treat in store for you. Joining us all the way from Long Island, New York, is Mr. Joseph Dyro. Joseph is a psychic medium, a unique channeler of divine messages, and an artist who paints the whispers of the spirit realm onto canvas. Joseph was mentored by the amazing Ms. Pat Longo, a teacher, coach, and mentor to some of the world's most recognizable psychics. Please join me in welcoming Joseph Dyro. Welcome, Joseph.
Hi, Jim. How are you today?
I'm doing great, and thank you so much for making time. I know it's tough to get away to do this with your schedule. It's packed. So thank you again. I appreciate
it. You're very welcome. Yeah, I'm shocked at how packed my schedule can be.
Yeah, well, I'm not. I am not. So we're going to go ahead and dive into some of the questions that I have for you to give people a chance to know a little bit more about you. So as I understand it, you come from a family of psychic mediums. Is that true?
Yes. And long story short, yes, absolutely true. Years ago, it was like pre-2010, kind of. And my mother had a psychic over the house, and she walked into the room. She started reading people, and she basically said, "I don't know why I'm here. None of you need me. You're all listening to spirit." And
oh, wow.
Pretty, I mean, you know, she didn't say it that as, you know, as forward as I'm putting it, but that was the gist of what she said. She did point right at me, and because she wanted to call me out, because I was sitting on the couch with a pillow in front of me, and she's like, "You hear them very well," and I'm just like, me.
She's like,
calling me out. I mean, you know, she gave me a nice in the moment explanation, but you know, I love her to death, because you know, prior to this, I thought I was crazy. I thought, you know, I hear voices in my head. I know things that there's no chance I would know. And it's like, you know, so I thought, like, you know, something's wrong. And she points right at me and says, "You're a psychic." And me, I'm like, okay, great. That's what this is. I'm not like schizo, or, you know, need to be hospitalized, or, and, you know, but it also turned out my siblings were experiencing the very similar thing. So it opened it up where everyone's finally started talking about it, and both my parents were very, very, my father more so, was already operating as a psychic, and so that medium directed him to Pat Longo. So he started taking her classes that she offered at the time, and one by one, almost every member of my household was going to class at Pat's.
Wow. That is, well, I've got to tell you that I've only heard of that one other time, and it was in Jen Weigel's book that she mentioned a brother and two sisters that were mediums, and their gifts came out basically all at the same time, which is really interesting. So from what you were saying, your siblings were experiencing very similar things to you, but none of you said anything to each other?
Honestly, like my siblings, I'll say talked lightly. I think all of us were trying to avoid sounding absolutely crazy. But
I get that.
Cause our parents were like, you didn't tell us anything. And I'm like, well, I didn't want you thinking when you're a child, it's not exactly unusual to have imaginary friends or just, things in your head because you think it's just your imagination. But, as I got older, I started realizing, I'm like, oh, what I'm thinking about is actually coming true, or it's actually, a piece of information that I wouldn't know about a stranger, or I'll meet somebody, I'm like, I already know something about them. And it's so odd at the time, how would I know such a thing? I did used to chat with my older sister about, what do you feel about, the X, Y, and Z? And she would have the exact same feeling. So we didn't have the word psychic attached to any of it. It was just like, well, we know stuff. We have a strong feeling, a strong sense, and we left it at that. It wasn't until really this situation I'm describing that we all just came out, okay, we're mediums and psychics, and let's just go from there.
Wow. So I'm curious to know what that was like growing up in the household.
I mean, for me, let's just say at the time I didn't like the dark. Neither, my younger brother really. I remember he didn't really like the dark either, because we would hear things, and it's not even. It wasn't even bad stuff. It was just spirit
stuff,
right? stuff happening and walking around, and just hyper aware of more than maybe necessary. Mm-hmm. And so, but growing up, it's like, I remember talking to people, I remember talking to family members that I never met. And there was one point where my father took me aside because I was freaking a teacher out. and he's just like, you can't say, he's like, he wasn't sure himself, because he was aware that he had, a heightened intuition or just knew things without mm-hmm. inquiring about it. But he did take me aside at one point and say, like, you can't say these things to people because, he wasn't sure. And he's like, also, he didn't want me freaking out. I remember I freaked out one of my grade school teachers because I just came out one day, and because there was a spirit for her, and they just kept egging me to just say something, and I did it. And the woman left the room.
Oh my God.
Because I think, here's her student, and there was no way in hell I would know a piece of personal information about her and her family. And I said it, and she, I remember she got up and walked out for a couple minutes because, she never looked at me the same again. Yes.
I could see that. I bet you guys couldn't get away with shit growing up either with your parents like that.
Well, we could. They didn't quite, they didn't quite hone in on it so much yet. I mean, as we were learning in Pat's class, it changed. Where, yes, I couldn't get away with anything. As I was old, not that I was doing anything bad.
Oh God, no. It was your siblings, I'm sure.
Awesome. I have a twin brother. He was just a little worse off than me. But he wasn't not a bad person at all. He got away with a lot of stuff that, my parents were suspect of, but, none of it matters anymore. It's all stupid stuff that teenagers do.
Sure. Good fun. Good teenager fun. So when exactly did you realize that you had this gift? And do you remember what the experience was?
I want to add, like, on the earliest memory I have of interacting with spirit, I was five, because that was when my great grandfather passed away, and I knew, like, I knew who he was because I had enough interactions with him, so I had a clear memory of him. But when he passed away, like, he visited me when he passed away, and so I knew already. So when my father, told us all, which was, I think, weird, because we all kind of woke up at the same time, when, I guess, about the day he passed, the night he passed away, and I already knew, and I said that it's like, oh, I know what's going on, and because he told me, and my father thought that was interesting. He didn't shut it down, but I'm like, okay, that's interesting. You already kind of knew this, and I think my sister also got an inkling about it too, that she was already aware that something was going on.
I have got to tell you something that is going to be coming out in a book that I'm putting together right now. That was the same experience. That was my first experience, was with my great grandfather coming to visit me and say goodbye on the night that he passed. And I didn't get the same open welcome. My parents actually thought that I had heard the conversation on the phone, and I hadn't. They were downstairs, I was upstairs, and couldn't hear the conversation. It was just like, yeah, okay, just go back to bed. And I won't give it away because it was the very first time as well that I experienced something otherworldly. And it, wow, you just rocked me a little bit back on the heels with that one. Same thing. Wow. So what was it like refining or developing your gifts? I mean, did they all come piling in at one time, or was it a slower process?
It was a slower process. Like sitting in Pat's class, she would have us practice, but over time she would, she was obviously listening to all of us, and she would tell me, like, for me to keep going, because whatever I was saying was hitting with somebody. Not all the time, but a majority of what I'd say, like, it made sense to the person I was directing it to. And it because let's just think, when I was a teenager, I shut a lot of this off because all the stuff that a teenager has to go through, hormone changes, everything's changing, angst and all that crap. I remember, I didn't want to do it anymore. I don't know where my head's at, and like, I wasn't in a dark place. I didn't want to go there. So I somehow quieted the voices in my head, but every so often something would kind of jump out at me. But so, like, when I was in my early 20s, like in Pat's classes, it was like refining that was just simply the practice, and I just felt like, once I opened the door, like, it all just came like flooding in after a while. Like, it took a little bit, but then it's just like, okay, I'm just really in tune with whatever I want to do right now. And in reading somebody, knowing about what's going on, and like, honestly, and I realized if they give me enough time, I can really pick up stuff on what's happening in their lives or what has happened. No, it's not a perfect science, because I think some people expect me to get something that I never get, and it never happens. But maybe it's because it's their energy field or my energy field that I'm just not honing in on certain. I mean, because I'm still being accurate, it's just not what they want me to talk
Well, sure, because they have a preconceived notion as to how they want things to go, and spirit or that loved one has their things that they need to get out. So that makes perfect sense to me. I'm wondering if, so how did the information, or how did the messages come to you? Were you awake? Were you asleep? How did that happen?
And both. When I was awake and intending it, let's say, I would ask and I would hear a voice in my head. Sometimes I would hear it in my ear, like not even in my head. It would just be someone talking in my ear and just relaying the information. Sometimes, that's again, it's not a perfect science. Sometimes it's like I'm listening to someone from down a hallway, or I'm listening to somebody on the phone, and there's a lot of static, but I can still kind of hear them. Some people come in, some spirits come in clear as day, and I can just relay everything they want to say. And there's a lot of different factors as to why is it be so different from reading to reading. But I just remember it, like, so many people, like, that I would just pick up on something that's just like, I'm like shocked. I'm like, how would I know that? And like, I'm just listening. I'm just listening to what's going on, or what's sometimes it's not even spirit, or at least I don't interpret it as spirit talking to me. I guess it's the psychic part. It's just that intuitive knowing. It's like, I just know something about you.
So what is that? Is that clear cognizant? Is that
Cognizant, the feeling is sentient, and
sentient? Okay.
clairaudient is hearing.
Okay. So you
If
have a
I
little
think
bit
I'm
of
correct,
everything.
a little
I think you are too. It
bit.
sounds, you know, when you just know, claircognizant, and if you hear clairaudient,
Clairaudient, and
yeah.
inner, and the feeling is sentient, I think.
Yeah, you're right.
Don't
You're
beat
right.
me up, people, if I'm wrong.
Well, then we're both wrong. That's the case. So when it started, and I'm asking because I've heard that oftentimes people's gifts, I will just call it the training wheels of opening up their gifts, things come in dream because that's when there's nothing preventing it from happening, and then it's a practice to start to get it when your eyes are open or you're awake. Is that kind of what was going on with you, or did it automatically go in both directions for you?
More so when I was awake, I think maybe because I was aware of it, intending it, and trying to pull it forward. I still get even then I still got stuff in my dreams. It just wasn't maybe as much as maybe people would expect. I did get
Gotcha.
woken up a lot my younger self, because spirit woke me up to get me to say something to somebody,
Ah.
or they would tell me, you're gonna meet so and so or interact with so and so. Can you say this? And I remember Pat is a great teacher, because she wants us to, she wants her mediums to respect boundaries. So it's like, I'm not gonna walk up to a stranger like you might see on television and just start blurting out stuff,
Right.
because there's a boundary, there's an appropriateness to it. So but occasionally, and like I remember, spirit would just wake me up and say, can you really say something to somebody? And most of the time I'd be like, fine. I just got like,
Okay.
tell me how to find them. And because they'll spirit's gonna find the like any medium, any psychic, the easiest route to get the message across. Because there was one time, I was still living at my parents' house, and some spirit woke me up. It was a gentleman. He wanted me to talk to his niece, who happened to work down the road from where I lived. Because down the road from our house was the area with the stores and shops and things that it was walking distance. And I'm like, I was racking, like, getting myself all nervous and worked up, because I'm like, I'm gonna walk in and ask if this person's here. And because I didn't even know where they were working, like, and I and like but I did it. I walked in, I introduced myself. I didn't say I was a medium. I just said I just described, like, I had the weirdest dream of this gentleman. I think his name was Frank. And the woman I was addressing this to, she knew exactly what I was talking about, and she
Oh,
thanked
wow.
me afterwards. But it's like, I think like my heart was gonna pound out of my chest, because I
I
was so nervous. Because
bet.
I'm like, here I am, a stranger walking in, don't know you. I'm like, I've never been in this place before in my life, and I'm just going to, give you a message from someone who passed away recently.
Frank's got a
And
message for you. Oh my gosh, that would freak me out a little bit. And it would make me nervous. But I think that you were compelled and drawn to do that. So yeah, good for you to step up and do that. That takes a lot, quite honestly.
I did stuff like that maybe a few more times. And like again, Pat Pat, in her wisdom, said, you know, I got to call the shots. I got to tell them, you know, you can tell me, but you got Spirit has to set up the arrangement where they know who I am and they'll come find me, because that, right. Honestly, it was just too nerve-wracking just to walk up to strangers and just start talking. And so, sure. I don't want to do this. It's way too much stress on me. Let them, like, have them find me somehow, and I'll give them the message, whatever they need.
That seems a little warmer introduction situation there. So that'd be the way I'd like it's to
also,
do it.
I feel like it's also better when the person is looking for it, as opposed to just a cold, cold, here's a piece of information that you may not have wanted.
Thwack, right across the head with a head. Okay, thank you. So on your website, in the josephdairo.com, you have a section that discusses your services, and there are a lot of tools in your toolbox. Huh. You have the private one-on-one readings, group and gallery readings, Reiki and shaman style healing, which is mind and body, house space clearing, which sounds really cool. And I think we may have you come back, because on each one of those, there's got to be some stories that you could share that would be pretty interesting. So,
especially with the house and space clearings,
right?
I've got some interesting stories.
Yeah, I bet we could have a whole series on those alone. You also do tarot readings or angel cards?
Yes, both.
As I understand it. Okay. Guided meditation, spiritual wellness, and intuitive workshops. So do you have like a go-to when somebody comes in for a one-on-one, or do they call the shots, or do you already have something in mind or a preferred way of communicating whatever it is that they're wanting from that, that session?
A majority of my clients just simply want private readings. So rarely, like in the session, do I kind of feel like they really need Reiki on top of a reading. So I'll do both. Otherwise, it's really just they pick from the menu. They contact me and tell me what they'd like to receive.
Okay. Okay.
And I think the next, besides the Reiki, the next big thing for me is house and space clearings, because it's not just houses. I also do businesses.
Oh, wow. I bet that would be, there's some stories there too.
Yes.
For sure. So prior to every show, I have an opportunity to speak with the guests. And Joseph and I had a conversation a few weeks ago, and he brought up the idea that, hey, what do you think about doing a quick reading before we do the musical questions? And I was like, I'm cool with that. And he's like, are you sure? And I said, yeah, let's do it. So if you're still good with that.
Oh yeah, I'm still good with that.
Okay, perfect. Let's do it. Let's do this. This is going to be kind of cool.
Well, fortunately, I've already been sitting in your energy. So you have it. Listen, your dad on the other side, like he's obnoxious because he's been tapping my shoulder, waiting for the opportunity to say something to you, because he's...
Yeah,
but you've heard of him before. You've heard from him before.
Yes, I have.
But he does want to say that he's absolutely proud of you. He says, for doing things for you, that's different than when he knew you when he was here on Earth. Because you are such a helper for everybody else. And he says, not that changed, but it's just like you took a little bit of made a decision where you wanted to focus a little more. Like, what do you enjoy? What do you want to do? And incorporated that into everything else that you got going on.
Yeah.
But because he says you're such a guru in your own sense. And he's also telling me, Joe, don't swell his head. And I'm just like, boy, like, dude, make up your mind. Do you want to talk highly of your son, or do you want me to deflate his ego? Come on, which way do we want to go?
That was my dad.
As long as it makes sense, the back and forth.
Oh, yes. It makes complete sense to me, because my dad was not the guy who threw around compliments ever. So, yeah, that's... That's my dad.
Sort of almost a backhanded compliment.
Yes.
It's a compliment, but there's something else. There's something else in there. Just to, like, really, you have to say that to me.
To zing me. Yeah. He was a funny dude, and whether he knew it or not, he was something for sure. That was good.
I also have to break up your mom because she's patiently waiting, and because she says, like, you know, she says count her separate from your father because she's a totally different personality. She feels like such a sweetheart and with just such good intentions. She also tells me she's maybe just a little disappointed because she said she left earlier than she would have liked. She would have wanted to have stayed longer on Earth. And she says, but don't think I didn't stop, you know, being your cheerleader since I got to the other side, because what she's describing to me is, while I'm talking to you, I'm talking to them. And she says she's always encouraged you to whatever you wanted to do. And she says, I continue that on the other side. Not that you really need it, because you're pretty good at this now. But she says, there was a time where you really, like, she says, I was the best friend. I kept, like, oh my God, we talked about everything. And she says, all I loved doing was giving him the inspiration to keep going. And I want to keep doing that.
Wow. Yeah. That's so funny that you said, because she was my cheerleader, my biggest fan. Holy cow. And she was a completely different person than my dad. She was loving, kind, nurturing, and supportive to a fault, I'm sure. Wow. Oh, you got me on that one. She doesn't come through very often, but you got her. Holy crap.
Usually I could get somebody, maybe not who we expect, but I could usually get somebody that you would know. But she's a riot because I'm asking her, it's like, boy, like because when I do this, especially with couples, I kind of get like that inkling of what their dynamic was. Like, how did this work? Your father's such a pain in the ass, and she's so sweet. But I'm like, it works. It works. They loved each other, you know, they loved each other to a fault, but I get it. Like, your mom put up with a lot, but also she annoyed him, you know, in her own right. So I'll say, you know, the dynamic makes sense after talking with them for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, it was oil and water sometimes, or Oscar and Felix, the odd couple, but it worked. Yeah, it was, wow, that was so good. Unbelievable. Do you want to add anything else?
Mom also says she wants you to pick up an instrument.
Uh-huh.
Something you've been thinking about, but you haven't done it in a long time. And she says, pick it up again. And she says, not just because it would make me happy. The point is, it would make you happy. And because that's like something an activity that's, it's not just freeing. It's almost like connecting to your higher self when you get lost in this. And I think people, especially nowadays, really need to rediscover what is that thing that you do, that we all kind of do for ourselves, that doesn't, I'll say, not lost in the ether, but connects us with that ether.
Well, I'll tell you this, and this you did not know. I went to school for music, and I sang opera for a time, and I have a guitar that I pick up every once in a while, and I keep saying, oh, I should really do that. I should really, really do that. That's, wow. spot freaking on.
Well, please just know that your mother's watching, and that's why she's making me talk about it. Because spirit, not that they get annoyed, it's not what that is, but they're like, but you keep doing the thing. Why, like, just go a step further. And it's like, why not just go the step further? Because what do you got to lose? You'll give yourself some moment of joy.
Yeah. No, that's good stuff. Holy cow. Well, thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
You are good. And I knew that, our friend, our mutual friend, Jen Weigel, speaks so highly of you. And,
I love Jen.
She's the best. You know what? It's interesting. And kind of picked up. Obviously, it's a different relationship than my mother. But Jen is such a cheerleader and supporter and is so kind and positive as it relates to me and basically anything I do that I'm sure I don't know that I'll ever be able to thank her enough, to be honest with you. But this is all very good. So why don't we go ahead and start our musical section? Because anyone who has ever listened to the podcast before can tell you this is the section when I ask the guests some musical questions. This is pillar three of our show. And as I mention regularly, music is the tie that binds. And I believe that everyone has a soundtrack that accompanies their life if they just take a moment to think about it. So are you ready for the musical questions?
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay. What was the first song you fell in love with from the radio?
You know, trying to think about this quickly. It's like, I don't quite remember what year it was, but it was I Saw the Sign by Ace of Base was first song that I can remember that I just wanted to hear over and over and over again.
How prophetic is that? I Saw the Sign.
Awesome.
That is awesome. Holy crap. Oh, that's but good.
I listened to that, and whenever it first came out, when it was playing on the radio, I remember it was summertime, and my father was driving the car, and the song came on, and I'm just like, I love this song, and I've just been an Ace of Base fan ever since.
That's awesome. That is awesome. I love that. You're the first one who mentioned that song. You are the first. That's fantastic. Your family have a song that everyone would belt out on road trips or vacations whenever you're growing up?
No, like, I try to remember my family, like, we all had different interests. Let's see, when it came to, I don't remember us singing anything specific besides like a sitcom jingle.
Okay.
Because I'm like what were you know, just something that would last like 2 seconds, like, you know, 2 seconds, because like intros in TV shows don't last that long.
No, they don't. But I, you know, it's one of those things that I remember, like, if it isn't even necessarily a when I was growing up, but I was in college, we had a road trip, some buddies and I, from my house, took a road trip down to Florida, and we listened to Delamitri, Stone Cold Sober, over and over again, and we would just start singing it from the top of our lungs. And we probably listened to that entire CD I don't know how many times, but that was one of those things for me. And it's just one of those things. It doesn't have to be anything that was a specific song that, because you hit it on the head. My dad liked country music, and at that time I wasn't, you know, I listened to it and I knew all the words because of being in the car with my dad. And my mom liked pop music and Captain and Tennille and Karen Carpenter and all of those types of songs. So yeah, I get it. Sometimes it's hard when you're on a road trip fighting for the dial.
Yeah, because, you know, like, my parents, you know, they grew up in the 60s, so they were very into the 60s and the 70s. And of course, you know, my siblings and I, we were 90s kids, so we were listening to the 90s stuff. My father also appreciates the 50s and the 40s, but not that he doesn't listen to newer stuff. My dad, I think he happens to like Britney Spears when she was bigger, that and the Spice Girls. That was interesting. I'm like, my dad likes the Spice Girls. That's pretty, I mean, that's cool.
That's cool. No, that's very cool.
I mean, so like, we all listen to, I mean, there's nothing really that it's like I shied away from. It was just that, I was just more drawn to the music that was popping up as I was growing up.
Excellent. So do you have a favorite song that's a hype song that makes you want to just go out and kick ass that day?
A hype song that makes me want to kick ass that day.
Or if you're working on a project or something that you I need some inspiration to get this thing going.
You know, a song that comes to mind is Undefeated by Skillet.
Undefeated by Skillet. I have never heard that. And I've never heard of Skillet.
They're a rock band.
Well, people are going to hear Skillet Undefeated. We've put together a playlist, so they're going to get it. That's awesome. I like being new music is fantastic. I've been exposed to some different artists through the different guests that we've had, the various guests, and it's been really cool. As a matter of fact, there are a number of the songs that were on the playlist for the episode, that particular episode, that is now on my playlist that I bring along with me. So I wouldn't be surprised. Did you have a favorite song that you and your friends would belt out when you were a senior in high school?
Yes. That at that time, it was Time of Your Life by Green Day.
Oh, yeah.
And a second song was This Is How You Remind Me by Nickelback.
That's a good, yeah. You know, that's a band that gets crapped on quite a bit. And
yeah, I like them. You know what? I like them too, and I don't understand the crapping part because there's a thousand other bands exactly like them. So it's like, what made this specific band so different? I don't know.
I don't know. And I like their music, and they did some soundtrack work. Like Hero was another one that was, I think it's good stuff.
Hero's one of my all-time favorite songs. Like that, like I know all the words. I can go through the whole thing, and that's another, I guess, inspirational song to pick me up.
Do you do karaoke?
I do karaoke with friends very occasionally. You know what? I'm weird. I have to be in the mood. I really, really have to be in the mood to get up and sing. Otherwise, I just listen to everybody all night.
Yeah, yeah. My mood is usually a couple of vodka sodas, and then I'm ready to go. But and that's the funniest thing. I used to sing in front of thousands of people, you know, singing opera or the national anthem for sports teams. You know,
which is really cool to be able to do that.
No, yeah, it seemed like a lifetime ago, quite honestly. Did your musical tastes change after high school when you were in school or in college, I should say?
No, I mean, if anything, like it expanded, you know, as I've discovered other things. But, I'm a little, maybe I can say I'm a little eclectic because I did like the rock bands, the grunge thing of the 90s. But I was also an otaku, so I liked J-pop.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I know that's cool.
So, like a lot of my friends, like when we went on our own little car rides forever, like we would sing Japanese, Japanese pop or openings to animes because we knew the words, and we all knew them, so we would do that. So like that. So I didn't do it with my family so much; I did it with friends.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, that's really cool. I think it's something when like Billy Joel's got a song called You Are the One, and he goes into speaking French in one of the verses, and I always think, oh yeah, look at that. Pretty cool. French, Japanese, different, much more difficult. Much more difficult.
Yeah, more difficult. You know, I learned it phonetically. Like, you know, I can put together, you know, watching subtitles and everything. You, after a while, you immerse yourself, you pick up on things. But I would never say I'm good at singing any of that.
That's cool that you do it, though. So do you have a guilty pleasure song? One that if somebody saw would be like, okay, dude, really?
Currently, because it changes from time to time. I think right now it would be Vogue by Madonna.
Awesome.
Because you know, I view it as it's a nice pick me up. You know, like to, I guess to strut my stuff if I need that kind of a pick me up in the day.
For sure, that's cool. That's very cool. Yeah, I have a couple of them, and it's Shake It Off by Taylor Swift and Backstreet Boys, everybody.
I like them too.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that good music and whatever. I don't care. So this is one of my favorite questions to ask. And it's sometimes you hear a song that rings so true, it can stop you in your tracks. And the lyrics of the song sound like they were written specifically for you or by you. What's that song?
What's that song that sounds like it's just... I can think of a few, maybe.
Sure.
Life of My Own by Three Doors Down.
Oh, I like Three Doors Down a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, because like, it's a tie between that and Kryptonite, because that song, I'm a slight superhero fan, but that song always resonated with me. When it first came out, I've loved that song, forever.
That's good.
I must listen to that song at least 3 times a week.
Really?
Yeah, I put my headphones, I go to the gym, and that's one of the workout songs, because it gets me going, it gets me pumped.
Yeah, well, that's cool. You said you had a few. What might be some of the others?
Another one was Any Other Way by Theory of a Dead Man.
that I know. That's a good song. I like those guys.
I do too. You know what? I end up singing them a lot for my karaoke's. I usually I'll do Santa Monica by Theory of a Dead Man as a karaoke song.
Okay. Rage. I've done some Rage before when doing karaoke. Believe it or not. So I'm all over the board when it comes to karaoke. It all depends on the mood and everything else. I can break out country music, Billy Joel. I can do Bon Jovi. I sing, believe it or not, in some of the bands I've been in, Bon Jovi has been one of the artists that we do a lot, because I've been told I do Bon Jovi pretty well. So I'll pull that out and do a little Wanted Dead or Alive or something like that. But
that's awesome. I like
that. Yeah, it's fun. Last one. Do you have an all-time favorite song?
That would be either Hero by Nickelback or Kryptonite by Nickelback.
Very cool.
Kryptonite by Three Doors Down.
Yeah, I knew what you're. That's a good one. They're both good. So I like it. Well, thank you so much for sharing those
you're
with
welcome.
Me. Those, and we have some other ones, but we're kind of cutting it close on time. So I just want to make sure that we get through to the end and make sure that everybody knows how to get in touch with Joseph. So what I'll do is I'll get all of his songs from his playlist, and we'll make sure that they're on the playlist for this episode. Well, it's just about time to cue the music for today's episode, but don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to the Drop the Needle podcast to stay up to date on our latest episodes. I'd also like to take a moment to say thank you to everyone for tuning in today, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Drop the Needle podcast. I'd also like to thank our special guest, Joseph Dyro, for being on the show today. Joseph, how can folks get in touch with you again?
They can find me on my website, which links to my email, or they can email me, or I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, I'm also on TikTok. I have no idea what I'm doing on TikTok, but I'm on TikTok.
Excellent. Makes two of us. And I'll make sure that it's in the show notes.
Awesome.
So everybody can just click on that link and get over to you. So I invite you to head on over to the show notes, where there's going to be a link to the playlist from today's episode. And there's also going to be that link that I just spoke of to get in touch with Joseph regarding booking a session with him. And you'll see on there when you take a look at his website, he really does have so many things. And one thing I didn't mention was the feng shui that you're involved with too. So that is also something that you can help somebody out with. So that's excellent.
Just a quick little thing about that, because my professional background besides this is I'm an architect, and I've always been fascinated with feng shui, and I just felt this was a great way to marry the architect part and the spiritual part here in it with something that also can serve whoever needs it.
I love that, and thank you for mentioning that. We started talking about the family and then the teachers and everything, and I just go wherever the conversation goes, and I totally forgot to go back to. So, what is it that you do on a full time basis? So yeah, I think that'd be interesting. Well, I mean, think about it, because a lot of times folks don't. Well, I think of an architect being very exact, very precise, analytical in thought, as well as artistic, because you have to have that creativity.
You mean annoying and artistic.
Okay, you said it, not me.
Yeah, I did. Well, I mean, in that profession, you have to be precise and a stickler, and just so otherwise problems and a lot of money has to be spent when you didn't need to.
But I love it.
It's like that's something I've wanted. My great grandfather was an architect, and so like I'm following in his footsteps. I've always been fascinated in this, and I'm like, I can't leave. It's like the psychic world's wonderful, but I can't leave this. I love it too.
All right. Well, I choose between two good things, right?
Yes.
Well, all right, my Drop the Needle posse, like Billy Joel says, from the highs to the lows to the end of our show, this is the end of our show. Until next time, this is Jim Allstott wishing you infinite health and happiness and the perfect playlist for your life. Thank you again for being the best part of us. Catch you next time.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.